How many of you know that he will fix it after a while? Hallelujah. I thank our male chorus for setting the stage today. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand with me as you take your Bibles, your iPhones, Android, iPad, whatever God has blessed you with to read his word. And he will certainly be on the screen this morning as well. And if you return to the book of Ezekiel, what book did I say, everybody? Ezekiel chapter 37, and we're going to begin at verse 1. If you got it, let me hear you say, I got it. All right, Ezekiel 37, verse 1. And here's what the word of God says. The hand of the Lord, somebody say the hand of the Lord, was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the valley, or in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, they were very many. Somebody say very many. In the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Somebody say they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Somebody said there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. For the next few minutes, we'll just speak to the topic, revival in the valley. Would you pray with me? Now, God, we just need to hear a word from you. Give us a glimpse of hope from the valley in Jesus' name. Let everybody say, amen, amen. You may be seated in his presence this morning. I do want to acknowledge two of our brothers and sisters, just in the sense that, and they don't know I'm doing this, but the newest wed couple in the Birmingham metro area, Brother Leroy and Dr. Kiki Abrams. Would y'all stand? Let's put our hands together and show them some love, everybody. Amen, amen. God bless you. Beautiful couple. We celebrate and rejoice with them. Amen. Amen. Again, it's good to have some of you slipped in after the welcome time. It's just good to see you. Good to have you back. I've missed you for the last 2 weeks. Amen. But God is good. He's kept each of us, and it's just good to see my church family.
As we speak to this subject today, revival in the valley. You know, there are times in our lives, both individually and corporately, when we get to a place and we feel like God cannot use us any longer. Has anybody ever been there? Because we are so broken, so messed up, so hopelessly lost that we feel like nothing can be done with us. I don't know this morning if I'm talking to anybody today. Maybe you are there, or maybe you're brushing up against it this morning. I'm too old. I've been sinning too long. I've wandered too far. I'm in too deep to get out now. I've torn my britches too bad. I can't see my way out. I want to talk to you today if you're anywhere in that vicinity. But more than that, I also want to remind us as a church as to why we are the church, why we are here. What is our mission, our reason for existence? Ezekiel is considered one of the major prophets of the Bible. He's got a whole lot to say, and he is the most quoted Old Testament prophet in the book of Revelation. Ezekiel is a contemporary of Daniel and Jeremiah. They all ministered and worked about the same time. And this was during the time when the people of God were in Babylonian captivity. Are y'all with me so far? Daniel ministered in the palace. Jeremiah remained with the captives in Judah, but Ezekiel served the people who were in the nation of Babylon itself. Now, Ezekiel, I must tell you, is very unique. He is different from these other prophets of his time and ilk. He is not as smooth as Daniel, and he's not as compassionate as Jeremiah. As a matter of fact, the prophet Ezekiel is really an oddball. He's a little off-center. He's a little quirky, a little strange. But nonetheless, God calls Ezekiel into the prophetic ministry. Ezekiel begins by saying that the hand of the Lord is upon me. I'm glad today, and you ought to be glad today, that God calls oddballs. God calls strange folk into ministry. Folk who are a little crazy, a little off center. You know you said it. She ain't wrapped too tight. Or the elevator doesn't go all the way to the top floor. You said it. And it's true. You know it's true because you ain't wrapped too tight yourself. See, there is a little bit of Ezekiel in all of us. Turn to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor. There's some Ezekiel in you. There's a bit of crazy in each of us. Somebody, somewhere, thinks that there's something wrong with you. But God called you, and God called me into salvation and into ministry because God is crazy about us. See, God calls crazy folk to reach other crazy folk. So you don't need to feel bad this morning because you're a little different. You're in good company. Somebody ought to say amen. We're all in good company. Crazy pastor preaching to crazy people. God asked Ezekiel to do some strange things. In his ministry, he asked him to eat a scroll, prepare a meal using human feces. Go back and read it. Strange stuff. He asked Ezekiel to shave off all of his hair and all of his beard and do some crazy things with his hair to represent some things that God was going to do to his people. But the strangest experience, and perhaps the most talked about, that Ezekiel had to endure was this experience of the dry bones in the valley. Can I talk about it today? How God revives us in the valley. See, Ezekiel says that the hand of the Lord was upon him, and he was carried out in the Spirit. Watch this language now. Carried out in the Spirit of the Lord, and then sat down in the valley of dry bones. I want to just stop right there. Because the Bible says that he was carried out in the Spirit, and then sat down in the valley. You didn't get it. He was carried out in the Spirit of the Lord, and sat down in the valley. In other words, he went from being high to being low. He went from up to down. This past Wednesday, during prayer meeting, I shared with those who were there that life is full of ups and downs. We're sometimes up and sometimes down and sometimes level to the ground. You have mountaintop experiences and then you have valleys. We love the mountains, the spiritual highs. We love the times of inspiration and revelation. We just come from a time like that during 10 days of camp meeting. We were on the mountaintop at Oakwood University, and there we heard great preaching and great singing and great workshops and great fellowship, and we spent time with family and with friends that we've not seen in a long time. That's the mountain. And many of us are just like Peter, who saw Jesus transfigured on that mountain with Moses and Elijah and said, Jesus, let's stay right here in this mountain and make us three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Let's stay here forever. But you can't stay on the mountain forever. The purpose of the mountain is to help prepare you for the valleys. Ezekiel said that the Spirit of the Lord carried me, and I was set down in the midst of the valley of dry bones. And as I walked about this open valley, as I surveyed the bones, I saw, Brother Tyrone, that there were very many, and they were very dry. This was not a pretty sight. A valley full of desolation, devastation, and destruction. Bones just laying all over the place. Not fish bones, Elder Jones, or chicken bones, if you please, but human remains, skull bones and arm bones and leg bones all mixed up together. No identification tags. This is an open valley and an open grave. No fence, not even yellow tape to keep intruders out. Animals have picked the bones dry and the sun has bleached them white. God has placed Ezekiel in a situation of hopelessness. He is walking knee-deep through a valley of dry bones. I believe that I'm talking to somebody today who is right now walking through a valley of dry bones. Yes, you come to church and you spend time on the mountain, but when you go back home, you're confronted with a valley of dry bones. You're in a marriage, you're in a relationship that has lost its vitality. It's dry, and now you're just coexisting. You're just roommates walking through a valley. Maybe your valley is Monday morning when you go to work, you dread going there, and the only time you're happy is when it's time to go home. I'm talking about walking through a valley of dry bones. Maybe your valley is simply the fact that you've been stuck in a situation for so long that it's become your normal. And you've accepted the fact that it's hopeless and just not going to change for the better anytime soon. Ezekiel said, I was in this valley
full of dry bones. They were very many, and they were very dry. It was a hopeless situation. And then in the midst of the situation, God said to me, how many of you know that God has a way of speaking into our hopelessness? Even into our dark nights, he will speak. And God said to Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? Ah, Sister Angela, this is a serious question. Just when I've accepted the fact that this is the way it's always going to be, then God asks, can these bones live? Just when I've accepted defeat, he asked the question, can these bones live? Just when I have accepted the fact that I'm going to be single for the rest of my life, God asked the question, can these bones live? Just when he had given up trying to have a child, God comes knocking on the door of 100-year-old Abraham. Can these bones live? God, please don't play with me. Don't mess with my emotions. God, don't mess with my heart. I can't handle it, God. I've been walking through these dry bones for so long. As a matter of fact, God, I've become a bone collector. I have a closet full of dry bones. I've got skeletons in my closet that I don't want nobody to see and to know is there. So we come to church and we do the happy Sabbath and we smile. But if the folk only knew that on the way to church we had a big blowout argument, if they only knew what's really going on, that I've got some bones, I've got some skeletons in my closet, I'm walking through a valley of dry bones. But I can share a little secret with you this morning. God knows what's in your closet. As a matter of fact, what you and I need to understand is that God placed you as he did Ezekiel in that valley for a reason. Can I say it again? I'm saying that God is not ignorant of the fact, Brother Kyle, of where you are. He's not ignorant of where you are, Dr. Collins, he's placed you there for a reason. He has set you down in a place where there is no evidence of hope or life or opportunities for progress and growth because he wants to use you to turn it around. He wants to work through you to make a difference. There's a reason that you're walking through a valley full of bones right now. Can these bones live? That's the question today. Ezekiel says, Lord God, only you know. Ezekiel parsed his answer very carefully, Brother Carmichael. You see, to say yes would be presumptuous. To say no would be unbelief. So he says, Lord, I don't know, but you do. The answer doesn't lie with me. The answer lies with you. Look, Lord, I just don't know. Could it be that God is waiting for us to come to the place where we can admit, Lord, I don't know. Lord, I don't have the answer. Lord, I cannot solve this problem. Lord, I need you. God will wait until you get to a place where you're faced with something that you cannot fix, and he will allow you to bumble and stumble and fumble around until you get to the place where you come to an end. And when you end, then he can begin. It's just like we do with our children. Mommy, I can do it. Daddy, I can do it. You, let me help you. No, mommy, I got it. And we watch them struggle, and then when they're ready, we step in to help them. We've got to admit that we don't have the answers to the opioid crisis. We don't have the answers to gang violence. We don't have the answer to school shootings. The answers lie with God. And yet, That does not mean that we don't participate in the process of change. Oh, y'all are listening to me today. It does not mean that we get a pass on doing something to bring about a change in our valley, whether it be in our families, on our jobs, in our communities, or in our church. Ezekiel, son of man, prophesy, preach to these bones. And this is what you are to say, Ezekiel. O ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus says the word of God upon these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. This, Ezekiel, is what you are to say to the bones. Ezekiel preached to the bones. Ezekiel was asked to do something ridiculous. Preach to something that was dead. Speak to something that used to be. He was asked to do something that just did not make any sense. If somebody were to pass by that valley and saw Ezekiel preaching to dead bones, they would think that he was out of his mind. And that's why I say that God calls oddballs. If you're afraid to do something for God that doesn't make any sense or even makes you look stupid, you will never experience the power of God in your life. I'm going to repeat that because you might have missed it. If you're afraid to do something that doesn't make sense or something that makes you look foolish, you will never experience God's power. You'll never break new ground. Somebody talked about putting a man on the moon, and somebody said it was impossible, and they laughed. Nobody's laughing anymore. Preach to the dry bones. See, God needs some folk who ain't afraid to look foolish for him. Ezekiel prophesied as he was commanded. And the Bible says that there was a noise. There was a shaking. Now I can go old school right here, and I can tell you how the foot bone got connected to the ankle bone. And the ankle bone got connected to the leg bone. And the leg bone got connected to the thigh bone. And the thigh bone got connected to the hip bone, and the hip bone got connected to the backbone, and the backbone got connected to the collarbone, and the collarbone got connected to the neck bone, and the neck bone was connected to the head bone. Hear the word of the Lord. All them bones got connected. Oh, there was a clicking and there was a clacking. The bones began to come together. The right bones were connecting in the right way. And then the sinews and the tissues and the flesh came upon those bones. And then Ezekiel was told again to prophesy, because now there was a rearrangement, there was a reformation, but that is not enough. When we come to God, we need to grow in Christ. We need the Spirit of God. Somebody ought to say amen. And so Ezekiel was told to prophesy to the wind, because the bones now with flesh on it, it was just a corpse, but it had no life in it. And again, the Bible says, he did exactly, somebody say exactly, exactly as he was told, and the wind came from the four corners and entered those bones, and they stood up an exceeding great army. I want to let you know today that what we need today is the reviving presence of the Spirit of God. Ellen White says that the most urgent of all of our needs today is a revival of true godliness. If there's something that the church needs today, it is the vivifying, revitalizing presence of the Spirit of God. As a matter of fact, here's what she says in another part of her writing. She says, but not only does this simile of the dry bones apply to the world, but also to those who have been blessed with great light, for they also are like the skeletons of the valley. She's talking about the church, because this was an application to the people of God. She says, they, that's us, have the form of men, the framework of the body, but they have not spiritual life. But the parable does not leave the dry bones merely knit together into the forms of men, for it is not enough that there is symmetry of limb and feature. The breath of life must vivify the bones that they may stand upright and spring into activity. What we need today desperately is the Spirit of God in our lives. You think, Pastor, how can I get that when I'm walking through this valley? I want to remind you that it is right there that God brings about a revival. God has placed you in the valley because he wants to use you in the valley to bring about a change. And how does this happen? You, like Ezekiel, I, like Ezekiel, must be obedient to the word of the Lord. You've got to do what God tells you to do, even if it does not make any sense. Even if there's a risk of looking foolish in front of your friends and family, you got to be willing to do the work. You know, God asks us to do some things for which we don't completely understand why. He asks us to get baptized by immersion. He doesn't explain why. What we know is that Jesus got baptized by immersion. We do it by faith. God asks us to keep the seventh day holy. Why the seventh day? We don't exactly understand why, but we do it by faith because he said so. God asks us to return a tenth of our income as a tithe. He doesn't tell us why a tenth. See, God requires us to be obedient. Every time I stand up here, I'm doing something foolish. I'm preaching to some valley of dry bones. But here is what God says in 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Every time a preacher stands up, he's doing or she's doing something foolish. But I stand here because God says, preach. And if you do the little things, if you do the simple things, I'll do the big stuff. I'll do the great stuff. Compton, you don't have any power to change anybody's life. But he does. We don't have the power to bring about a difference in our own lives or in the lives of those around us. But God does. And when you trust God to do the things that he asks you to do, when you do the light lifting, God will do the heavy lifting. That's why one day when he comes, he will say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. You've been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over much." See, we act like God is always asking us to do a whole lot. He really isn't. He does all the heavy lifting. He asks us to do a few things. He asks us to do simple things. Give me a tenth of your income. You keep nine-tenths. And do whatever you want to do. Give me one day. You've got 6 days. If you need something, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. He asks us to do the little things, the simple things. Ezekiel, preach to the bones. I will give them life. I will revive them. God uses simple methods to confound the wise. He used a rock and a slingshot to take down a giant. He used a shepherd's rod to part a Red Sea. A little boy's sack lunch to feed 5,000. Some spit mixed with some clay in a man's eyes to cure blindness. See, God will use you and I to turn things around if we're simply willing to do what he tells us to do. There's a whole lot of things that simply does not make any sense that God tells us to do. But if we do what he tells us, he will do the impossible. God wants to use each of us, as the pianist comes to play, to turn some things around in our own lives and in the lives of others. Yes, you might be in a valley right now, and everything may seem hopeless to you and lost, but the God I serve is a God who can bring revival in your valley. If you're willing to do what he tells you to do, to trade in your opinion for obedience, you will discover that there's power in the word of God to change any situation, restore any marriage, move any mountain, solve any problem. He says, so shall my word be that proceedeth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing to which I send it. Isaiah 55:11. You and I have got to learn how to speak that word, amen? How to use the word of God to address your situation. You see, the power of life and death is in the tongue. Some of you have allowed the devil to gain control of your mouth, and you speak only negatively. You speak death and wonder why things just keep going south. It's because you can't sow bitterness and reap love. You can't sow anger and reap peace. You can't sow jealousy and reap unity. You can't go around here saying, I'm sick and tired of this marriage and expect it to turn around. You can't go around saying, they're never going to hire me and expect to get a job. You've got to speak life to get life. Speak life into your marriage. Speak life over your children. Speak life over your grandchildren. Speak life into your friends. Even in the face of a valley of dry bones, prophesy life. You need to stop waiting until things are turned around. You ought to start speaking right now, right here. Job did not wait until he got out of the valley to speak life. No, he declared with confidence, I know that my Redeemer lives. And though worms should destroy this flesh, I will see him with my own eyes and not another. Paul did not wait until he was out of his valley, but declared, I've learned in whatsoever state I find myself to be content. Whether I'm rich or whether I'm poor, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He was speaking in a valley. Peter didn't wait to get out of the valley, but declared, consider it not a strange thing when you go through trials and tribulations and you suffer for your faith, but rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of the sufferings and the glory of Christ. See, when you're able to speak in your valley, and God can bring about a revival because God will keep his word, and his word shall not return to him void. So you and I have got to start speaking in our valley. It doesn't matter what that valley is right now as they begin to play. We've got to speak into that valley and trust God to turn that thing around in our own lives, in our communities, in our church, the lives of those around us. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. There's somebody here today who's in that valley, and you want to accept the call and the invitation, yea, the challenge, to speak, because God says, speak. Speak my word. Trust my word. There's power in my word. The same word. Bible says he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And that same word spoken into your life can bring about something new, something different, can revive your soul again. You want to say, Pastor, I accept that call. I accept that challenge right now to trust God's word, to be obedient to his word. I want to surrender my heart to him today. I want to allow him to come into my valley and rearrange some things and bring life out of deadness. Give me a new start, a new hope, a new direction, to cause me to stand up as a man, as the woman that God has called me to be, to live my life with purpose and on purpose, driven and led by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. If that's your desire and you're looking for a church home, you're looking for a place to connect, a place to be nurtured, a place to grow and to be transformed, I call you now in the name of Jesus. This is your moment. This is your time. The doors of this church are now open to you, and you're looking for a church home. You're looking for a place to connect and become a part of the body of Christ. I call you right now in the name of Jesus. All you need to do is just raise your hand where you are. You're saying yes to Jesus Christ. Yes to a relationship with him. God bless you. I see your hands in the balcony. God bless you. I'm going to ask you to do something for me right now. If you would just slip out of your seat in the back, just come on down. Just come on down. Somebody else, whether you're in the balcony or you're down below, but you're simply saying, yes, God, I need you in the valley. I don't have the answer. I cannot get up out of this valley by myself. I need supernatural power. I need you, God, to turn it around. Why don't you put your hands together for my brother as he comes? Let's encourage him, everybody. Put your hands together for him. Somebody else want to say, yes, I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming. Somebody else, this is your moment. This is your time. Don't let it pass you by. Bless you, my brother. Don't let it pass you by. Somebody else want to say, yes, Lord, I'm coming. I need to connect with you today. I need to connect with the body of Christ. Be a part of the body. I want to be revived. I want God to do something special in my life. I want him to rearrange my priorities, just like he did with those bones. I want him to rearrange my life, put me back together again. You all know that old nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses, God bless you, and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty together again. See, there's some things we just can't do. Amen? But I want to let you know that there's a God who's able to put our Humpty Dumpties together again. You say, Pastor, I can't find the pieces. They're scattered all over the place. Don't worry about that. God knows where all the pieces are. And he knows how to put this piece back together with this piece again and to make sense out of what you think is just a confusing mess. God can do it. God bless you. He specializes in putting our brokenness back together again. But you got to give him a chance. You got to confess that you don't have the answer, that he is the answer. And allow him to pull it together for you. And it can start today. It can start right here. I call you now in the name of Jesus. Somebody else want to say yes. Today is a new day. Today is a new start. Come. Somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else. You need to come. You need to come now. Come now. Come now. You're in the balcony. You're down here. You need this relationship with Jesus. Give him a chance. You're a young person and your life stretches ahead of you. And you feel you've got a lot of time. No, you don't. And the enemy knows that. And he's whispering in your ear, hesitate, put it off. Wait until tomorrow. Wait until next week. Wait until a better time, a better occasion. This is the best time. There will never be a better time than today. I call you. You need to do it now. God is calling you. Somebody else. Church, you're praying. I don't know. I believe there's a wrestling going on here today. I don't know you. You don't know me. But God has given this word just for you. And you need to do it today. The Bible says don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. You need to do it now. Somebody else, you just want to say yes. You want to say yes. I'm looking for a church home. Looking for a place to connect. Looking for a place where I can be nurtured, where I can be transformed. This is the place. This is the time. God's got your valleys. Put you there for a purpose. Now you've got to connect with him. Somebody else, just 3 more seconds. The door yet remains open and you want to say yes. Come. God is calling. He's brought you here for a purpose, for a reason. Don't let it pass you by. I don't know why, but I just believe there's somebody else who needs to come. Needs to say yes. You know who you are. And the Spirit of the God, of the living God, is saying, hold the appeal, hold the door open just a while longer. Somebody else. Church, you're praying. You're praying. There's somebody else who needs to say yes. Yes, Lord. I'm surrendering today. Yes, Lord. I'm turning it over to you. Yes, Lord. I'm giving up. Not on life, but on myself. I'm allowing you to have your way. Because I can't do it. I can't handle it. Somebody else. You need to say yes. The doors of the church are now open. This is your moment. Don't let it pass you by. Don't let it pass you by. God did not bring you here by chance. He's not put you. He's not allowed that valley by chance. You need to come. I'm going to pray now. But even while I'm praying, God speaks to you. You need to get up out of your seat and come. God, we thank you this morning for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for the highs of life, and we also thank you for the lows. They both remind us that we've got to trust you. Remind us, God, that we're not enough without you. We need you. We cannot get through these valleys without you. So we humbly confess today, God, we don't have the answers. We don't know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. We wait to hear a word from you. And whatever that word tells us to do, even if it doesn't make sense, we don't understand it, we might look foolish because of it, other folk might think us strange, oddballs, but God, I'll be an oddball for you. Because God, you are willing to be an oddball for us. You are willing, God, to die on a cross in the most shameful way. You endured the shame of a cross for us. And so, God, because of that, we're willing to do whatever it takes for you. You are willing to die, we're willing to live. Bless us, God, in this commitment. And I pray in a special way for somebody here today who's still wrestling, who's still struggling. God, don't leave them alone. Spirit of the living God, strive with them. Give them no rest or peace until they surrender to you. In Jesus' name. Let everybody say, amen, amen. We're going to hear from our elders this morning as to the desire of these individuals.
Heaven is rejoicing. Heaven is rejoicing today. Amen. We have Sister Teresa Dowdell that is coming for prayer.
Amen.
We also have Sister Tamara Young. She's coming for prayer and deliverance.
Amen, amen.
And we have Brother Wyndon Hicks. He's coming to rededicate his life.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to call in our head elder, Dr. Collins. Would you come and just offer a special prayer over these individuals today? Would you all say amen, church? Amen. Amen. We thank God for your desire, your coming down front. It takes courage